Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
G'day guys, it is I, Lyle Swithenbank, back with another installment of the Pelican Scoop, the hoop-ball.com presentation. Merry Christmas everyone, big day of basketball, big day of sport actually, especially in New Orleans. We're back, and I thought, well, I couldn't hold off, you know, for me, I'm in Australia, so Christmas is yesterday for me, but for all of you celebrating over in the US, well, Merry Christmas to you all, happy holidays, and yeah, make sure you get around your loved ones if you can, and of course, if you're in some of the COVID hotspots, make sure you look after each other and yeah, abide by whatever rules are in place, but of course, make sure you get around your loved ones. You know, this is the time of year where people are doing it tough, and if you know people that are, well, reach out and have a chat to them. As always, I am Lyle Swithenbank, at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter, at HoopBallPels is the show. Make sure you check us out on Twitter. Jump over on the iTunes app and give us a like or a subscribe and a 5 stars if you feel that way. I won't beg too much. It's Christmas. Feel free to do that if you want to do, if you want to reach out and look after us. Of course, we love all of your feedback and yeah, it's great. It's a season of giving. It's Boxing Day here for us, so I get to watch a bit of cricket and a bit of basketball. Of course, the 5-game slate on today. The Pelicans played at 1 a.m. my time, so I went to bed about midnight, actually, Christmas Day, after a big day of festivities. And I was tempted to stay up and watch it. Instead, I recorded it and got up this morning and watched it and avoided Twitter until I had fully watched the game. And we're going to get into that in a little bit. We're going to talk about all, I suppose, the fallout of the game. But yeah, of course, the show is brought to you by mybookie.ag. Go and do your betting over there if you feel like doing that. I had a multi down today, as you might have seen on Twitter. 20 leg multi on the Denver Clippers game. I can confirm it did not come in. Probably a little ambitious on some of the legs. 20 leg multi is always one that may or may not come in. I think they call it a parlay in the US. And of course, you can go and find out all of that from Today in Sports Betting. The guys over there are phenomenal. They give you all of your tips and tricks to win you a bit of cash, as well as the wager pass. Oh, look, how was that for a segue? Go and get the wager pass at hoop-ball.com. Something that you should go and get, especially if you love a bit of a flutter like myself. I don't win much, but I do enjoy putting them in, and it adds a bit of spice to the game. So if you see my tips, probably not always the best to go with them, but I'll just stick to analysing the Pels and a bit of basketball fantasy as well. It's always a bit of fun. So today, as I said, we had the first game of the Christmas slate, which was good. You know, we went to Miami, went and played them over there, and got a good run out. You know, Tally Sight, one of the good friends of HoopBall as well, one of the analysts on there, and I'd actually tipped the Pels to do a bit of an upset on Christmas. I thought, well, give the fans something what they want. You know, New Orleans has done it tough. Go and give them a win and upset Miami again. We'd beaten them in the preseason, and I thought, well, why not? We're in the festive mood, you know. Why don't we go and pull a win out? Unfortunately, I suppose, spoilers alert, if you haven't yet watched it, we fell a little bit short, tried our very, very best, but in the end, it was a defeat against the Heat. Despite Jimmy Butler going down with an ankle midway through the second quarter, I think he came out of the half, didn't start the second half, and there was a bit of controversy about that, that his ankle was a bit crook from the game against Orlando that they'd just played. But without him, they still managed to get the 111-98 win, which puts both teams now at 1-1 on the season. Is it panic time? Absolutely not. You know, were there some really positive signs? Absolutely there were. Don't get me wrong, this is the NBA finalist. You know, this team was not a slouch. If it had have been someone down the bottom of the standings, then you can go, hang on, there may be some fundamental errors here. I don't think that was the case. For the majority of the game, well, for sections of the game, we were competitive. You know, there were some sections of the game that, in fact, we were not. And there were some real issues that will need to be addressed in the coming months, I guess, and as the season unfolds. But again, we need to, taper expectations. Yeah, the team at some point was down. I think the highest lead at one point was 22 points. You know, we really fell away. And there were some moments where it looked like the whole team was just absolutely discombobulated. No real sense of anything. The ball wouldn't go in the basket. You know, there was a real lid on it. But then at other times, we went on some huge runs and got it back within, I think, six was the closest at one point later in the game. So it really, you know, it's one of those games where you can't go and write it all off and say, oh, we didn't get anything good out of this, because there really was. You know, we got 28 points from our mate Brandon Ingram, and also another 32, I think it was, from Zion. 32 and 14, you know, how's that on the boards? As well as a cheeky 32, you know, he's the second youngest player to score over 30 in a on Christmas. He's also the second youngest, scorer of all time on Christmas in terms of over 30 games. So I think the youngest was 18-year-old LeBron, so you're not going to beat him. I think he had 34 points. It was also a night for records. JJ Redick, he became the all-time leader in Christmas Day three-pointers. It took him to the fourth quarter to get his first bucket, but it was a three, and he got there in the end, so we're happy with that as well. Duncan Robinson, and this is one of the causes for concern we might talk about a little bit later on, he lit us up in the first half. I think he had six threes, and that was an NBA Christmas Day record for most threes and a half, and he was on fire. He absolutely smoked us from outside, as the Heat did throughout the night. I suppose we'll touch on that first. You know, that was something that we really did struggle with, was these transition threes as well as just outside perimeter defense. Eric Bledsoe admittedly didn't have a good night, but he's a vet. He's a pro. You know, he's away from his family on Christmas. You don't know how that affects people. He's acclimating to a new team as well, new system. There's always going to be teething problems. And sometimes your shot just isn't falling. You know, he still tried hard. He got a questionable flagrant one on a hip check on Bam Adebayo, and that was purely frustration. I don't think it changed the flow of the game at all. He was sort of at the situation where he did something bad. It was a turnover, and he just decided to send Bam out of bounds. And he was upset. You know, Bam was frustrated about that, but it didn't really escalate. It was sort of like, calm down, mate. Let's just move on. We'll get out of it. But yeah, that is definitely something we're going to have to address. The trailing three-pointer is just, it tears you apart. You know, the first play of the game was Duncan Robinson three from dead on. He come off a screen, curled to the top and knocked it down. We can't let that happen night in, night out. That really, honestly, you need to address that. We've got good perimeter defenders in, you know, Josh Hart, and he didn't start, so you can't blame him in that first possession. Eric Bledsoe's a good perimeter defender. Nikhil, I suppose, could turn into one. He didn't play. Lonzo is a lengthy guard, and his defense has definitely improved. But we're still getting exposed a bit. You know, we need that wing defender that perhaps could come in, and or a really above-average perimeter defender that can chase people off the three-point line. Otherwise, you know, the other thing that we really need to work on, and this, I'm going to start with the cons, and we can build up. You know, we lost, we could throw the baby out with the bathwater, but I don't think that's productive, and I don't think that's something we should do two games into a season where, you know, we got two budding all-stars there, one all-star already, and one that, geez, if he keeps playing the way he's going to play, Zion will be pulling it on as well, and being an all-star this year, if they were to play the game. I don't think they are, from all reports, but the other negative was that fourth quarter. So the guys looked absolutely gassed, and Stan Van Gundy put his hand up and said, look, I didn't use my rotation. I didn't go as deep as I should have. We went 8 deep, 9 deep, I think, and the four guys that come off the bench were JJ Redick, who had, admittedly, he had a bad night. He didn't shoot all very well at all. You know, sometimes he can hit a three midway through a run and really turn the momentum. That didn't really happen until the fourth quarter, where he did a little bit, but nothing too exciting. He was just having an off night. Josh Hart come off the bench, and he was good. Josh Hart, I cannot fault, but the two guys that really got exposed were Nicola Melli and Jackson Hayes. Honestly, the backup, the big men rotation beyond Zion and Steven Adams, who was phenomenal, and I'll get to Steven Adams, I'll gush about him in a minute. It was pretty stark. You know, we saw Jackson Hayes look like a deer in the headlights. He played something like 4 or 5 minutes, and they were just, yeah, not real good, unfortunately. 3 minutes 15, he had 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 field goal attempt, which he didn't make, and there was, he just threw the ball out of bounds at one point, like just absolutely skied it out to the corner. He looked jittery, he didn't look confident, and perhaps, you know, that's a young player. He's played 2 years of professional basketball prior to being drafted. So he's had one other season where he was forced to play a bit more because Derek Favors was out. But honestly, it's like when you buy a car that you want to do up and you're going to do it as a project, and then you keep pulling bits off and you find a bit more rust and a bit more rust and a bit more rust. And that's probably a bit harsh, but the fundamentals aren't there. And purely because he just hasn't played that much basketball. So, I honestly, he's a freak. He's a freak athletically, and I think he's willing to learn, but that's something he's really going to have to dig in and, you know, have a crack with. I think Jackson Hayes needs to take a big step, and he needs to work hard. He's got to work on that craft and turn that athleticism into a real plus. You don't need to get nervous. You've got your 3 minutes or whatever your allotment is. Make sure Stan Van Gundy trusts you, you know, earn that trust. So, honestly, I think he can be okay. He's just really got to get that those fundamentals down packed. And if that means he's got to sit around and work on his game a bit more, well, that's what you got to do. You know, you're getting paid the big bucks, so get in there and earn it. And go and get that. You know, you don't want to be out of the league in 4 years. You want to be saying, okay, well, this guy, you should have seen where he came from. Look at him now. And I think that's something, hopefully, he's got that mindset to really work on his game. And I think he does. And get those fundamentals down packed and just become a serviceable big man. Because at the moment, he's just getting exposed. And you could see that, by the way. He played 3 minutes and then got dragged and didn't come back on. So the second guy in that big man rotation was Nicola Melli. So he only played 9 minutes. He had 1 point. And that was it. 2 field goal attempts, which he didn't hit. 1 3-pointer, which he didn't hit. And missed a free throw. So, -7 on the night. And Jackson Hayes was -9, just FYI. It makes it very difficult when your big men don't rebound defensively. So Stephen Adams is on there. We stop a run, and it almost got to the point where you had to play him 48 minutes. It felt like you needed Stephen Adams back on there just to stop them getting offensive rebounds or to stop them scoring inside, outside. He is such a defensive presence and a big unit that as soon as he was gone, we were getting killed on the boards. It was so obvious. And they had that precious that they've just picked up, and he was killing us on the boards. Bam was getting them out of everywhere. And you just can't have that. You can't have your second unit come in and then all of a sudden our interior presence is just gone. And maybe that's a learning curve for both of the young guys, but at the same time, we really need a defensive anchor that could that can come in off the bench and not necessarily score. They don't have to be. We've got enough scorers. We can do that. When everyone's on, we've got the scorers. Just someone that can anchor the defense and be a presence, because you can't have Matador defense standing in the paint as the blokes just blow by you, like Goran Dragic going coast to coast, spinning and just laying it in because Stephen Adams wasn't on. Well, it's not on. You can't have that. So we've decided to play big. We can't just do that for half a game, and that's got to be something we've got to work out, whether that's going and orchestrating a trade and get someone else, or it's being patient and seeing if we can get these guys to buy in and be that interior presence. You know, that's something that we'll have to look at. I know there's some big men out there. I tweeted perhaps Dwayne Dedmon could be a good pickup. You know, he's a big unit that can stretch the floor as well, and that gets all the people that are keen on shooting around Zion, as well as a big interior presence. Loves a block. He's a big unit. Perhaps he could be a guy we look at. But again, that's, like I said, we need to taper expectations. We cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater. We said we're going to have a tough, even first 10 games. We stole one against the Raptors that we weren't predicted to win. And for the majority, we pulled ourselves in a competitive game with against the Heat. So, you know, I can carry on till the cows come home about, oh, we've got to do this, got to do that. But at the end of the day, it's buy-in from the team, and Stan Van Gundy will work it all out. He knows what he's doing a lot more than I know what they're doing. So we'll back that in. Now, enough of me carrying on. Of course, JJ Redick also had a bad game. He was minus 27 on the night. But I think he will be his own biggest critic, and he'll sort that out, no doubt. Shooters sometimes have off nights, and that's going to happen. They owned it on him and made sure that he couldn't hit those threes that he was known for, but you get that. That's fine. They've got some good perimeter defenders in Avery Bradley, Mo Harkless, Iguodala, you know, Jimmy Butler as well. These guys are all pretty good players. Dragic is a good defender, and it made it tough for our guys to score. So, enough negative Nancy. I'll move on into the positives. We really didn't get the third scorer, and that's something, of course, we'll have to work on. But B.I. and Zion, in second quarter, Zion just kept going. You know, he is an absolute... I'll start with him. He was an absolute bulldog inside. He is built like a tank. And he rolled in... The tank rolled in and was getting fouls. He was getting the and ones. And Richard Jefferson, I think, had the call. And he was like, you can't just do soft fouls against him. You can't do it. You have to foul him hard. You can't just give him a little arm tap and hope that you'll stop it, make him miss a shot. Because even if he misses it and they don't call the foul, he's going to get the rebound and put it back in. He's got this second jump, and he is so strong. He's sitting there and, oh, yeah, I'll have that rebound. No worries. And he's not like he's 7 foot. What is he, 6'8"? But the spring and the timing and the second jump. The kid's 20 years old, and he is absolutely chopping up. So no cause for concern there at all. We saw some good minutes from the big man, Zion. 38 minutes. I don't know if that's a career high, but we're happy with that. You know, he got a good run. 32, 14, an assist, a steal, shot 11 of 20, missed his three-point attempt, but, you know, he was standing there by himself. Have a ping. 10 of 15, 66%. Had three turnovers, but that's what happens when the ball's in there. And some of them were like, though the ball fell out of his hands or he got swiped down. You're going to get that a bit. They still gave him a minus 13 on the night and the plus minus, but that's advanced stats and, you know, I thought he was pretty impressive, honestly. The other guy, I don't know which one's Batman and which is Robin. Maybe we have two Batmans. who knows, they're both pretty good. 37 minutes and 3 seconds was our good mate Brandon Ingram. He is a gun. He got fouled twice outside, actually, while he's shooting for 3, and got 2 lots of 3-point. And that, I think that's honestly because his arms are so long. So he'll elevate, the defender will come out in a completely legal closeout, and his arm just sort of like snakes over the top and he gets hit on the elbow. 28 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 7 of 17, 4 of 8, 10 of 11 free throws, which is something that we love. We had 4 turnovers, but again, he was handling the ball a lot. I honestly thought he was one of the... like, at the, when the clock's winding down, they just dump the ball off to him and they're like, hey, sorry, we burned the whole shot clock. Can you just go and like sort that out? And 80% of the time, even 85% of the time, he goes and sorts it out. A go-to scorer that can create off the wing is so important in today's NBA. You have a look at all the great wings that all the good teams have. And we've got one there. And then we've got a bloke that stands next to him in Zion. So, no cause for concern with those two young forwards. I think we've got 2 all-stars there. And they are going to lead us a long way. Maybe not this year, maybe not the year after, but it's coming. You know, LeBron's not going to last forever. He's 38 or something now. So they're going to... The power struggle in the West is right there. And, you know, there's rumours of a expansion at some point, maybe in the next couple of years. Seattle might come in. Does that mean New Orleans, who are... if you drag the line from East to West, they're a fair way to the East. Could that mean they move into the East and all of a sudden they could crush some Eastern teams if it was today? But, you know, that's something we can have a look at. Now, the guy that I want to really gush about, and I said I was going to, is the big Kiwi, Stephen Adams. You know, Australians and Kiwis have a long history, and maybe that is not always the most... I suppose, loving of relationships, I guess, especially when we talk cricket. But he was just the absolute difference maker. Every time we wanted to stop a run, it was because he was on. When he went off, Heat started scoring. The bloke does more than what comes up on the stat sheet. You know, he had 6 points, 9 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals and a block, 100% from the field. He scored 6 points in like 3 plays, and then we just stopped going to him again. He was there, and he makes the ball look like a tennis ball. He's holding it there with one hand, just turns around, lays it in. No dramas. He was muscling out Jimmy Butler, like, with ease. I honestly think if we wanted to get 10 and 10 out of him every night, we absolutely could. He played 32 minutes. You know, if we had a second one of him, we could just sub that one out and put the other one on. But you feel for him because he can only run for so long, and he's going to get worn out. But he hustles back on defense. He's always there and closes off those fast breaks, especially after a missed shot. You know, he'll get down the other end and defend. He doesn't muck around. He knows when to rebound or when to box out. And it's something that you can't really teach. He just has an innate ability to grab rebounds and defend. And being such a big unit, you know, he's just great. He is such a good addition. And, you know, people are like, oh, we need spacing or we need something. Well, he provides spacing because he boxes out like a mad thing. So I have no issues at all with Mr. Adams. And I think he has been a great addition. We got him cheap with this extension as well because they are throwing mad money around the NBA at the moment for guys that I would personally don't know where this money's coming from, but they're paying everyone. So we got him on the cheap. And the way he's playing, if you watch him, he passes the eye test. He is an absolute monster. So I love Stephen Adams, and everyone else should too. So that's just the correct opinion. Well, probably, you know, I might be a little bit biased, but he is a great player. And I think if we can really get that second big man to help him out, well, you know, the spot's open. We're not going deep into the rotation, so let's see how he goes. But otherwise, Stephen Adams, just... he's so good. He knows when to roll. He knows when to step out the way so that other guys can get in there. And he just plays his role. And I think there's a whole heap of guys out there that just think that they might be better than they are or try to do more than they need to. And He doesn't do that. He's like, all right, I'll just play a bit of basketball. I'll throw it in there, and if you need me to score, I'll do that. You need me to defend, well, I'm happy to do that as well. Just his presence really interrupts the defense, or the offense, sorry, and yeah, he's all right by me. But yeah, anyway, we lost 111-98. The next game is against the San Antonio Spurs, and that is on the 27th, so we'll be back then to have another podcast. We'll have a chat about it after we have a look at that. Hopefully we can pull that one out. It's at a bit more reasonable time, 8 a.m. my time, in terms of in the US, I guess it's 14 hours before that, so the night before. It's on a Monday morning, but that's alright, because I've got a week off for the holidays. So, guys, let's leave it at that. You know who I am, at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter, at HoopBallPels, if you want to follow the show. Give us a tweet, give us a like, you know, we appreciate everything you guys do. Thanks for listening. At the end of the day, it's what you guys are the ones who listen, so that's why we keep doing it. Alright, this is HoopBallPels, this is Pelican Scoop. I'm Lyle Swithenbank. Merry Christmas, enjoy the rest of the holidays, and I'll speak to you very, very soon. Bye for now.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.